Hi, this is Pam Brown.
I'm Ann Diver Stamness, and this is Chronologically Gifted, Conversations on Life After 50.
This week, our program continues our conversations on activism in later life.
Our guest today is Dr. Blaise Bonpain. Blaise is the director of the Office of the Americas. He is an author, the host of the radio program World Focus, which airs on Pacifica radio station KPFK in Los Angeles, and a lifelong activist who has led investigative delegations and traveled extensively on peace missions, among other activities. Welcome to the program, Blaise.
Well, it's good to talk to you, Anne, and I want to thank you for your volunteer work 27 years ago for the Office of the Americas in Santa Monica at that time. We much appreciate your help then, and it's good to talk to you once again.
It's good to talk to you too, and I'm always proud that I was the person who typed your letters all those years ago.
Yes, indeed, and you did a good job.
Thank you. I appreciate that. To give our listeners a sense of the Office of the Americas, would you describe some of your current work?
Well, currently we've been focusing on the Middle East because by 1991, we made a trip to Baghdad to see what was happening over there and realized that all hell was breaking loose. And we were actually there in the month of January when the real bombing began, just before the major bombing began in January. Came back here to L.A. and demonstrated against the war, which began on January 16th. And Teresa and I and my son, Blaise, were all locked up at the very time the bombing started. And we felt that was a good place to be because that war really has continued now for 27 years, uninterrupted, and has devastated the Middle East. This is a time when people are talking about obstruction of justice alleged on the part of the current president. We feel that the entire 27 years has been an obstruction of justice by bombs and depleted uranium and has disrupted the lives of millions of people. So our focus in recent years has been on the Middle East, Afghanistan, Iraq, and the whole area. And of course, now Yemen has one of the major starvation problems in the world because of the war in which we are assisting Saudi Arabia in fighting. So we've never been without work to do. And in the earlier days, we were sending people to places like Nicaragua, El Salvador, Central America. Today, it's far more difficult to send people directly to the Middle East, but we try to keep the word out there because much of the major news ignores what's happening. I mean, well, in recent months, ever since the new president came in, we've mainly heard what he's done or hasn't done. And at the same time, the policy has remained the same for many presidents. Presidents themselves differ in their personality and their abilities, but the basic policy of perpetual war continues, which gives us the question of whether there is a deep state that is running things, regardless of who's president. It's because there's a sameness there.
Given that you've been an activist all your life, how have things changed over time?
They've changed somewhat because of structural changes. The draft led to a great deal of opposition to the Vietnam War, and then we developed a professional army where we heard less opposition, but that didn't mean that the recruiting was honest, and it didn't mean that so many of our wonderful young people didn't die over there. Over 300,000 have come home very sick with post-traumatic stress and also with physical wounds of all kinds. And we feel that this is part and parcel of a military-industrial government, which, of course, President Eisenhower, the great general, reminded us was an extreme danger. And that's what has taken place. We have military-industrial governance, and our greatest business is the war business, and that is really the sad part of this whole thing. We have people getting rich on war, and the first one to recognize that was Abe Lincoln during the Civil War. He said, "Oh my God, this scares me more than the war. There are some people getting rich on this war, and they'd want it to go on forever, selling junk instead of decent things, making money, and not caring about the lives of our young people." Well, that's gone on now to much greater proportion, so that so much of Wall Street is involved in war making. In fact, it could be stated as our major business, and at the same time, the major threat to the ecology of the globe. So we have a serious problem here that's not going away. It didn't go away with the Republicans or Democrats. I haven't seen either party as a voice for peace. You find some wonderful legislators here and there. They're just excellent, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6. But as a group, neither party has really been a strong voice against military-industrialism. So this is what has to change. It's not simply the current occupant, which has been a lot of excitement for a lot of people, but it's much deeper than that.
How have you been able to sustain your commitment to this work over the course of your life and maintain the passion you so clearly have, especially in light of what you were just mentioning, the current political situation?
Well, the thing that saves you is like-minded people, the community of solidarity, family, children, grandchildren. I can't help but think of the great Antonio Gramsci, who was living through the Mussolini years in Italy as a philosopher and writer. He said, "All right, you ask me how I feel about this." He said, "I have an absolute pessimism of the intellect in terms of where we are going. I have a total optimism of the will that we can change things."
Tune in next Thursday for part 2 of a 2-part series of interviews with Dr. Blaise Bonpain. For more information, past shows, and the links to our podcasts, email, and Facebook group, go to chronologicallygifted.org.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Annie. Thanks so much for listening.
We'll be here next week and hope you will be too.